Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. Hey, North Point, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, I just really believe that God is going to speak to your heart. I believe He's going to encourage you today. I don't believe it's a coincidence or an accident that you are watching this, but I believe that God really does want to do something in your heart, do something in your life, do something in your family. And you may be looking at this going, man, what in the world is Philip wearing? God, I am wearing my Hakuna Matata shirt. Come on, somebody. Hakuna Matata for the rest of my day. I mean, come on. It means no worries, right? Come on, it means no worries. And we're going to be talking about joy today. And so I thought, what better shirt to wear than bring Simba and Timon and Pumbaa along for this journey today. But we are in a series of messages right now on the life of Jesus. And we're not just talking about who Jesus was. We're not just talking about what Jesus did, but we're talking about how Jesus lived. And by how Jesus lived, we're talking about the example that Jesus set for us to follow. Now, something that we've been hitting on every week, just to be very clear, and that is this, that we experience salvation through the finished work of Jesus, but we experience life transformation through the continued work of Jesus. That's right, salvation. Jesus came, He paid it all. When He said, "It is finished," it is finished. Nothing that we could do to earn or deserve heaven. Jesus paid that price for us. However, if we want life transformation, then we've got to allow Jesus to continue to do a work on the inside of us so that we can begin to think like Him and behave like Him and act like Him. And Romans 8 tells us how this really is possible, because the scripture says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is actually living and dwelling in us. The Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. And if that is true, then what we see in Jesus should be seen in us. What we see in Jesus in the scriptures, it should be seen in our lives. Why? Because His Spirit is living on the inside of us, and that Holy Spirit is producing some things in us as well. This is what the scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And we are spending these few weeks that we have over this summer of talking about how the fruit of the Spirit, each one of these nine characteristics are seen in Jesus, and how they should be seen in us as well. And Destiny talked about love, and last week we talked about joy, and today we're going to be talking about peace. Now, I don't think that I have ever met a person in my life who didn't want more peace in their life. I mean, just think about it for a moment. Have you ever met someone who would say, no extra peace for me? I just love the chaos and confusion. It really just feeds my soul. Or how about somebody that would say, who needs peace when you can have debilitating fear and constant anxiety and spend every single day worried about everything? Oh, come on. You know, it doesn't matter how little peace you have or how much peace you have. Everybody is in the market for more peace. Definitely when we are talking about supernatural peace, the peace that can only come from the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible says in John 16:33, is what Jesus says. He says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." See, it's very important that we start right here in understanding that our supernatural peace is going to come from a supernatural source. Our peace is coming from Jesus, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave, the one who broke the power of sin. He is the one who is offering us this peace. And the peace that he offers, it doesn't have any limitation or any expiration. The peace that he offers, it knows no boundaries or barriers. And no circumstance in your life will ever be able to match up against the peace that is found in Jesus. Maybe we could say it this way. His peace is more powerful than my problems. As a matter of fact, why don't we just say that together right now? Say, his peace is more powerful than my problems. I feel like we just need to say it one more time. Let's say it again. His peace is more powerful than my problems. Now, nobody should have known this any more than the disciples. The disciples one time were on a boat with Jesus in Mark chapter 4, and they're on a boat with Jesus, and they're on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up, and man, the water was pouring into the boat. Jesus was asleep in the stern, and the disciples are panicking. They're stressing out, right? I mean, so you got the disciples stressing. Jesus is snoozing, right? They wake Jesus up, and they're like, Jesus, don't you care that we are about to die? Jesus wakes up and says, peace, be still, and everything goes calm. And then Jesus says, why were you afraid? Why did you have no faith? Now, here's the truth for us today. What Jesus did to the storm on the lake that day, he can do to the storms in our heart every day. What Jesus did to the storms on that lake that day, Jesus can do to the storms in our heart every day. He can speak his supernatural peace over every storm. And now, look, this was not the only storm that the disciples found themselves in. This was not the only raging storm that Jesus calmed. As a matter of fact, just a couple chapters later in Mark chapter 6, the disciples are on the boat, and this time they're actually alone. The Bible says about 3:00 in the morning that Jesus came walking toward them. He was walking on the water, and he intended to go past them. But when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed. You see, here it is again. His peace is prevailing over their problems. Come on, the Bible is speaking to us today that his peace is more powerful than our problems. In this story, what was in him was stronger than what was against them. You see, what was against them was the wind. What was against them was the storm. But what was in Jesus was stronger than what was against them in that moment. And let me give you a great reminder today that what was in him is now in you. Come on, somebody just needs to put an amen right now on that. What was in him is now in you, and what was in him was stronger than what was against them. So the spirit that is in you today is stronger than the spirit that is out there in the world. You need to put an amen. That's right, Pastor. Come on, somebody. You need to put that on it right now, because you need to internalize this truth right now in this moment. Come on, what was in him is now in you, that power. And what we see in this story is that there is two commands, and I don't want us to miss this, because the first command that Jesus gives his disciples in the story is, he says this, he says, do not be afraid. What he's saying is, hey, don't lose your peace. Don't let this situation cause you to lose your peace. And then he comes back with a second command, and he says, take courage. You got to lay hold of courage. Don't lose your courage, but get your courage back. Now, I want you to notice the order. It's very, very important. Because it is hard to be courageous when our heart is in chaos. It's hard to be courageous whenever our heart is in chaos. If you remember when we read a moment ago in John 16:33, when Jesus says, but take heart because I have overcome the world. But before he instructs his disciples to take heart, he says, I've told you these things so that you would have peace in me. Once again, the peace coming before the courage, the peace coming before taking heart. And that's what it's translated, take heart or to take courage. But this is what I'll say about taking heart. It's hard to take heart when my heart is not at peace. And when we look at that definition for the word peace, we're not just talking about free from conflict on the outside. No, come on, Jesus is supernatural peace. It doesn't mean that there's no conflict. It doesn't mean that there's no problems. This is what it means. It means that your heart is in a state of wholeness. Your heart is in a state of completeness. Your soul is in harmony. Come on, that's what the scripture says. But I can't take heart when my heart is not in harmony. I can't be courageous whenever my heart is in chaos. But I want you to see, I want you to notice that when Jesus gives this command for peace, when he gives this command for courage, these two commands are connected to another statement. He says, don't be afraid. So he's saying, hey, keep your peace. He's saying, take courage, grab a hold of courage. Why? Because I am here. I am here. Jesus was not asking them to find peace and courage within themselves. Jesus was expecting them to find their peace and courage in him. He was saying, let your courage and let your peace come from this fact that you are not alone out here on this water. Let your peace and your courage come from the fact that I see you. Let your peace and courage come from the fact that I am with you. Let your peace and courage come from the fact that I am able and available to help you. You see, without peace and courage, we will be overwhelmed, but with peace and courage, we can overcome. When we don't have peace and we don't have courage, life will be overwhelming for us. But when we have that peace, when we have that wholeness and completeness and harmony in our heart and in our soul, and we can live that out in courage in our life, then we can overcome whatever it is that we are going through. So it takes us to this question today. So, okay, Philip, so what's going to help me keep my peace? If peace is vitally important to keeping my heart intact, which is vitally important for me being able to have courage, and that courage is very important for me to be able to overcome, what is going to help me have peace in my life? Let me just give you a few things today that I believe will help you hold on to that peace and to keep your peace no matter what is going on and transpiring in your life. Here's the first thing that we need, and it is thanking. Thanking God for who he is and all he has done reminds me of who he is and all he has done. Don't miss this. Whenever I actively thank God for who he is and I thank him for what he's done, it reminds me, even though I know I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded of who he is. I need to be reminded of what he has done. And when I am reminded of that, guess what? It gives me confidence about where I am and about what I'm facing. That's why I have to give thanks to God, because I'm reminded of who he is. What the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Come on, what a powerful scripture. Let the peace of Christ, the peace that was in him, that is now in you, let it rule and reign in your hearts. He goes on and says, you've been called to peace. It's your calling to live in peace. It's your calling that your heart would be whole and complete and in harmony. That's your calling. And then he adds this verse, and he says, and always be thankful, because gratitude for what I have and what God has done keeps me from focusing on what I don't have and what he didn't do. And when I focus on what I don't have and what he didn't do, it's hard for me to hold on to peace. But when I focus on what he has done and what I do have, it's so much easier for me to keep my heart at peace. So it starts with thanking. The second thing that we can do is reading. Reading helps us stay in peace. You say, why reading? Because reading and listening to the truth about God and the wisdom found in God, that generates peace inside of us. Whenever we learn about his faithfulness, whenever we learn about his goodness, whenever we learn about his mercy, when we learn about his grace, when we learn about his kindness, when we learn about his power, when we learn about his strength, when we learn about him, when we read about him and learn about who he is, it gives us peace knowing that we will be okay. Here's a scripture, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. It says, but all who listen to me, talking about wisdom here, but all who listen to wisdom will live in peace, uncontrolled by fear of harm. You see, whenever you listen to wisdom, when you listen to truth, you will live in peace and you will be untroubled. You will not be held captive by the fear of harm. And it comes from reading, from listening, and from walking in wisdom. Now, here's another thing that we could say that will help us keep peace in our hearts, and that's understanding that I have access to what I need to, I have access to what I need in order to produce what I want. I have access to what I need in order to produce what I want. Now, we're saying, what do you want? You want peace. That's what you want. You want peace. And you have access to what you need to produce what you want. The scripture says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Well, you need to know it's different. Come on, it's different. The peace that Jesus gives is different. He says, it's my peace. The peace that's found in Jesus, it is supernatural peace. I don't give what the world can give you. I give you something better than the world could ever give you. And he goes on, he says, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. That's a powerful three-letter word right there. L-E-T, let. It means to allow or permit. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't you allow your heart to be troubled. Don't permit your heart to be troubled. He says, nor let it be afraid. He says, don't allow that to happen. Come on now. He's saying, don't allow it to happen. That means that we have power over what's happening in here. Why? Because the power of Christ on the inside of us. He says, instead, let my perfect peace, allow my perfect peace, permit my perfect peace to do what I want it to do, and that is to calm you in every circumstance and to give you courage and strength for every challenge. Let God's peace do its work on the inside of you so that you can have what you really want to have. You see, it comes down to this understanding. I've got to understand I have access to what I need to produce what I want. And now here's the fourth thing, and that is surrendering. Surrendering. It's the fourth thing that we need to do to keep peace. It's surrendering. And you say, where does this come from? Well, this comes from the life of Jesus. When we look at Jesus, what did Jesus do in his moment of trial? What did Jesus do in the most difficult moment of his life, hours away from going to the cross, where the scripture actually says that he was deeply troubled. Some translations say his soul was crushed with grief. What did Jesus do in these moments? Jesus turns to prayer, and in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it says, he went a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible to let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. I want your will to be done, not mine. What was happening right there? It was a moment of surrender. Jesus said, if there is another way, let's take another way. But Father, not my will. I want your will to be done. When we surrender our will to the will of the Father, we have access to more supernatural peace in our lives. And lastly, the last thing that we have to do if we want to experience this peace, we've got to look at our thinking. We've got to look at our thinking. What thoughts am I allowing to take root in my mind? What thoughts am I allowing to take root in my mind? Because whatever I allow to take root in my mind will bear fruit in my life. The thoughts that I let take root in my mind, they will bear fruit in my life. And the fruit of peace doesn't come from the root of worry. The fruit of peace doesn't come from the root of resentment. The fruit of peace does not come from the root of confusion and frustration. No, 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 no. I've got to see what roots, what thoughts am I allowing to stay in my mind. This is so powerful. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The scripture says in the Message translation, summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Paul here writing to the church at Philippi, he says, listen, you got to make sure you're thinking about those things that are true, those things that are genuine, those things that are authentic, those things that are worthy of praise. Think about the best and not the worst, right? That's what we have to put in our mind. If we want to live in a place of peace, we've got to make sure the right thoughts are in our mind. Now, when you take those five things right there and you talk about trusting and reading and understanding and surrendering and thinking, right? What does that spell, the little acrostic there, right? It is trust. Trust. Because trust is really the number one thing that will guarantee you peace in your life. We must be able to trust God. I want to say it to you this way. You will never experience peace that goes beyond your level of trust. You will never experience peace that goes beyond your level of trust. You say, what is trust? Let me give you a quick definition for the word trust. It means firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Confidence. It is a confident expectation because I am putting this firm belief in the reliability, in the truth, in the ability, or the strength of someone. And when it comes to what we're talking about today, we're talking about putting our trust in God. We are putting our firm belief in His strength, in His ability, His reliability. We are putting our trust in His truth. And out of that firm belief, that expectation that comes from this confidence, that is where my peace is going to come from. But you will never experience peace that goes beyond your level. I want you to see that your level of trust is setting the lid on your level of peace. So if you want more peace in your life, guess what? You're going to have to raise the level of trust. And you say, how do I do that? How do I raise the level of trust? Well, I just gave you the acrostic because what I gave you is a pathway really to raise your level of trust so that by raising your level of trust, you can actually have more peace. Because if you want to raise your level of trust, come on, you've got to live in Thanksgiving. If you want to raise your level of trust, you got to read to really know more about this God that you are serving. If you want to raise that level of trust, guess what? You really got to do a better job of understanding who He is and what He has really given you access to. If you want to raise that level of trust, guess what? You really need to surrender more to Him. If you want to raise that level of trust, you got to be thinking more of the right thoughts about Him and His relationship with you. And if you work your way through that acrostic, then actually you raise your level of trust. And as you are raising your level of trust, there you are also raising your level of peace in your life because your peace will always match your level of trust. It will never go beyond it. So today when we look at our life and we say, man, Philip, I need more peace. Man, there's so much going on in my family right now. There's so much going on in the world right now. There's so much going on in the economy right now. I need more peace in my life. If you need more peace, if that's what you want, if you want more peace, then guess what? What you need is more trust. Let me just give you a few scriptures as we wrap up today. John chapter 14, verse 1, this is what Jesus said. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Jesus said, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let. There is that three-letter word again. Whew, it's a small word, but it brings a big consequence. He says, don't permit your heart to be troubled. You don't allow your heart to be troubled. Instead, what is the remedy? He says, you trust in me. You trust in God. You trust in me. And if you put your trust in God, then your heart will not be troubled and you can live in peace. Scripture, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Oh, there it is. God will keep you in perfect peace. Who is He keeping in perfect peace? Those who have decided they are going to put their trust in Him. When you put your trust in God, you can have His supernatural perfect peace. Bible says in Romans 15, 13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely. Come on, say completely. That God will fill you completely with joy and peace because what? Because you trust in Him. Come on, it's not because you're saved, not because you're just going to heaven, not because you're attending church, not because you're just a good person. No. He says, I want God to fill you completely with joy and peace because you have put your trust in Him. When you go all in with trust, God goes all in with peace. When you completely trust Him, God fills you completely with His peace. Lastly, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Come on, that's how you know it's supernatural, because He says you will experience God's peace, and it goes beyond your understanding. It exceeds anything that you can understand in the natural, because His peace is supernatural. And then it says His peace will guard your heart, and it will guard your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, there is nothing more than saying, God, I trust you, when you say, I'm not going to worry about anything, but I'm going to pray about everything. I'm going to pray about everything. And when I pray about everything, I am trusting God with all of my heart. I'm going to thank Him for all that He has done. I'm going to tell Him everything that I need, and I'm going to put it in His hands, and I'm going to trust God with it all. You see, whenever we trust God with it all, God gives us all the peace we need. He gives us that supernatural peace that passes our ability to even comprehend or understand. So if you want peace today, what you need is trust today. If you want peace, you need trust, because the higher our level of trust, the greater our level of peace. Well, you know, we're closing out all of our Sunday messages with a lead acrostic this year, because we want to lead ourselves well in 2021. And not just do we want to lead ourselves well, we want to lead others well also. And so we're doing a lead acrostic, and that lead acrostic, it just stands for learn, evaluate, apply, and do it again. And so today, what are we learning? What is the takeaway today? It is this: that God's peace is more powerful than my problems. God's peace is more powerful than my problems. That's where it all starts. You got to believe that God's peace is more powerful than your problems. God's peace is more powerful than your storm. His peace is more powerful than your confusion and frustration. His peace is more powerful than your circumstance or your situation. God's peace is more powerful than your problems. Our evaluation is this: am I actively trusting God with every situation in my life? I'm not asking you, do you theoretically trust God? Because here's what we do as Christians, right? We say, oh yeah, well, no, I trust God. I'm not asking you, do you trust God theoretically? I'm asking you, are you trusting Him actively? Are you trusting Him with every situation in your life? Are you trusting Him with every relationship in your life? Are you trusting Him with every issue in your life? Are you actively trusting God today with everything that is going on in your life? Because you cannot have the level of peace that you truly desire if you are not actively trusting God in those areas of your life. The application is this: build your trust in God. Build your trust in God. How? By thinking, reading, understanding, surrendering, and thinking. Build your trust in God this week. Live in gratitude. Read something. Read the Bible. Read a book about God. Read something that's going to fill you up with wisdom and perspective. And then gain some understanding about who God is and what you have access to as His son or His daughter with His Spirit living on the inside of you. And then just begin to surrender. Surrender to His way instead of your way. Surrender to His will instead of your will. And then just make sure that you are thinking about the right things. Remember, the root is going to produce the fruit. So if I've got the wrong roots, the wrong thoughts taking root in my mind, I'm not going to produce the right fruit in my life. I've got to be thinking the right thing. So if I want to build trust in God this week, I've just got to follow that simple acrostic. And then the D is always the same, right? Just do it again. Do it again. Do it again and again and again and again. Come on, can we pray today? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for who you are. And thank you for the peace that you have made available to us. God, we love you. God, we are so grateful that we have access to supernatural peace. Jesus, you said, it's my peace that I am giving to you. It is my peace. Now, today you may be saying, Philip, I need more peace in my life. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want more peace. I want more peace in my mind. I want more peace in my heart. I want more peace in my home. I want more peace in these situations, in these circumstances. I want more peace in my life. If that's what you want, then we know what we need. We need to trust him more. We need to trust him more. Come on, right now in this moment, I just want you to declare your faith and your belief and your trust in God. I don't know what it might be that you've been holding on to, but come on, can you just say, God, I trust you with this relationship. God, I trust you with my son. I trust you with my daughter. I trust you with my spouse. God, I trust you with this issue at work. I trust you with my business. God, I trust you. Come on, as that trust begins to go up, we know that peace is going to begin to grow in our lives. God, thank you. Thank you that your spirit is in us, producing the fruit of peace in our lives. God, we thank you for that. Right now, you say, Philip, that's what I want. I want more peace, and I know what I need to do. I need to trust more, and that's what I'm dedicating this week in my life to doing. Come on, if that's you, you can just lift that hand right there where you are. Come on, you can just say, that's me. Just tell God, God, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's what I want. That's what I need. I need to trust you more. I want that peace in my life. Father, this is what we are praying today, supernatural peace. As we begin to place our trust in you, let peace begin to grow and flourish in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, you can put a big amen on that today. Hey, I want to say thank you so much once again for watching. I know there are so many things happening in this world, but we have access to a supernatural peace. That supernatural peace creates wholeness and completeness and harmony in our hearts so that no matter what is happening around us, we can flourish on the inside. That's what Jesus has made available for you and for me. So let's live in that peace today by deciding to put all of our trust in him. God bless you. I'll see you right back here next week as we talk about the fruit of patience in our life. It's going to be great. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.